Do you want to learn interesting psychological information in an easy, straightforward, and entertaining manner? Then you need to listen to The Shrink Is In, a podcast show produced and hosted by Dr. Howard Gurr. Dr. Gurr is a practicing licensed psychologist for more than 25 years in New York State, and now he is available to you on the internet. Now, here's Dr. Howard Gurr.
Hey, it's Dr. Gurr with another psychological podcast, and today I have an interesting topic. If you're over 40 or you plan on being over 40, and that's what we call male menopause, which is a rather unknown concept. But I have an expert today, Dr. Jed Diamond, who will explain what male menopause is and what we can do about it. Before we meet Dr. Diamond, let me give you his background. Dr. Jed Diamond is the founder and director of the Men Alive, a health program that helps men live long and well. Though focused on men's health, Men Alive is also for women who care about the health of the men in their lives. Men Alive has been around since 1992, and Jed has been on a bunch of committees and boards that are very significant in the area of men's health. Been on the board of advisors of the Men's Health Network. He's a member of the International Society for the Study of the Aging Male, and serves as a member of the International Scientific Board of the World Congress on Gender and Men's Health. He's also, by the way, the only male columnist writing for the National Association of Baby Boomer Women. He's been featured in newspapers throughout the United States, including the New York Times, Boston Globe, Wall Street Journal, the Los Angeles Times, and USA Today. And he's been featured on more than 1,000 radio and TV programs, including The View, Good Morning America, Today's Show, CNN 360 with Anderson Cooper, CNN with Glenn Beck, CBS, NBC, Fox News, and To Tell the Truth. He also did a nationally televised special on male menopause for PBS. Dr. Diamond is the author of 9 books, including the best-selling Male Menopause and Surviving Male Menopause. And he's currently working on a new book, Tapping Power, A Man's Guide to Eliminating Pain, Stress, Anger, Depression, and Other Ills Using the Revolutionary Tools of Energy Psychology. And now let's meet Dr. Jed Diamond. So, Jed, welcome to The Shrink Is In.
Great. It's good to be with you.
It's good to have you, especially talking about a topic that I guess affects, you know, my generation, although I hate to admit it. But we're talking about the possibility that as we get older, you know, our sex, love, and intimacy tends to get a little harder. I guess the concept that we're going to talk about today is something that most people aren't even aware of, and that's the concept of male menopause.
Exactly. This is really something that most people don't know about. Those that do kind of chuckle about it, and it seems kind of funny that men, you know, could actually go through a hormonally based change of life in the same way that women do. But that's exactly what the research has been showing over the last 10 years that I've been concentrating on it, and now we do know that men, like women, have a hormonally based change of life that's called andropause, or more commonly male menopause.
We know there's such a thing as male menopause. How does it impact men?
Well, there's kind of two sides of it. If men are not aware of it or they deny it, it's kind of a slow downhill process of increasing symptoms, lack of energy, problems with erections, irritability, anger, depression, and obviously this can cause real havoc with the relationship. On the other hand, if it's understood and dealt with, we can prevent the symptoms, we can treat the problems, and we can get a man back to the kind of life that we all want to live, whether we're 20, 30, 40, 50, or at whatever age, we still want to have a good sex life, we want to have a good intimacy life, and we want to be as healthy and joyful as it's possible to be.
I mean, you're talking about symptoms already, and I guess my question is, you know, most of us are very good at looking at other people and analyzing what their problems are. You know, we could pinpoint other people's problems. As my mother used to say, it's easy to see a fly in somebody else than an elephant on yourself. And so how does someone really know that they're going through this male menopause?
Well, there's a couple of ways that we check this out. I did a large research study that involved close to 30,000 men to really determine, you know, what are the key symptoms, what are the things that we need to look for. and developed a 50-person questionnaire that's been filled out by a large number of men as well as women from all over the world. And I actually send it out to anybody that would like to get it. It's published in my book, Surviving Male Menopause, but I'm happy to send it to anybody that would like it. What it does is it details 50 symptoms you fill out and say, this is true for me, not at all, up to quite a lot, and then it scores your results and tells you whether it's likely that you're going to be having a problem with male menopause. As I mentioned, some of the symptoms include physical aspects where we just don't seem to have very much energy. We're not sleeping well. We just feel, you know, out of sorts. Dry skin. There's a number of symptoms, physical symptoms. Emotional symptoms that include high on the list is irritability. Men just seem to feel more irritable and out of sorts as we get older, and our testosterone levels begin to drop. And then finally, sexual symptoms that include erectile dysfunction, erection problems that we've heard a lot about, lack of libido or sex drive, or just, you know, not feeling the same kind of passion for the partner we may be with. And again, all of these are things that can be changed and modified once we know what's going on, and we can then treat them.
I guess from your experience and your research, you know, we know, you know, on many levels, obviously what menopause for females has done to relationships in many respects. I've seen lots of patients who in my practice would have, you know, episodic emotional experiences that they didn't know was going on until after the fact. So in other words, you know, 30 or 28 days into the relationship, there are conflicts and fights. And then once it's over, a week later, the woman goes, oh, you know, I think I was really, you know, having my, you know, some kind of menopausal experience.
Right. But
they didn't know it at the time.
Right.
You know? Also, you know, from my experience, I have patients who are bipolar whose symptoms are exacerbated when, you know, there are hormonal changes.
Right.
And they, again, you know, I have them track it and they understand, oh, you know, like every 3 or 4 months, this happens to me. And, you know, these are women who are either perimenopausal or, you know, completely into menopause. And,
right.
You know, they can feel it, but guys are not very, as you said, you know, we're not very open and honest about things. And we tend to, you know, dismiss emotional issues or biochemical issues,
right,
as being, you know, I'll just have to kind of work through it.
Well, there's a lot of pressures, as you know, in our society that make it difficult for men to acknowledge that we're having physiological or hormonal problems. You know, there's such a stigma. We don't want to have anything that's feminine or female. And so the good news is that, you know, when you think about it, you know, you think about puberty, I think we'd all recognize that males and females go through puberty. We all know that there are physiological and hormonal changes that come online as testosterone starts to flood through our body. Well, midlife and what I call male menopause is really like puberty in reverse. Now the hormone levels are dropping. The testosterone is going the other direction. And just as when it came online, you know, men like women are going to have physiological, hormonally based changes that are going to affect our emotions, are going to affect our sexuality, and they're going to affect our relationship. And if you can, you know, in a sense, own up to it, as I'm finding more and more men, when they realize, geez, there's something we can do, there's something that I can, you know, take to get my sex life back, many men are going, hey, I don't care what you call it, just help me get through it.
Mm-hmm. Can you explain the source of the irritability or anger that comes with male menopause?
Well, this is very interesting. When I did the research for the book Surviving Male Menopause, we really were looking at sexual symptoms. That was what was in the news. That's what men were coming, and they were very concerned about the erectile dysfunction, the lack of libido or sexual desire. But what we found was that, in fact, you know, 70 to 80% of the men had these kind of symptoms, but equally common was irritability and anger. Mm-hmm. And this wasn't expected. You know, why would men get more irritable and angry as their testosterone levels were dropping? We kind of think of, you know, men who are taking anabolic steroids to build themselves up, that, you know, get more angry and irritable and this kind of roid rage kind of thing. Well, actually, what we found in the research studies, both with animals and with humans, is that as testosterone levels decrease, that is, they go down, irritability goes up. Mm-hmm. And we realize now that there's changes in brain chemistry. There's changes in, you know, how neurologically things work, so that, you know, the lack of testosterone actually causes men to become more irritable and angry. And once we know that, there's a lot of things we can then do to increase our testosterone levels as we get older.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just want to remind the audience, this is Dr. Howard Gard. I'm talking to Dr. Jed Diamond, founder and director of Men Alive, a health program that helps men live long and well, and the author of 9 books dealing with male menopause and surviving male menopause and the irritable male syndrome. We now know what it is. Now the question really is, what can we do about it?
Right. Well, the first, you know, thing that we do when men come to my clinic, or I hear from a lot of women who go, you know, I know there's something going on with my man, I just don't know what, you know, what it is. And first thing we do is we give the questionnaire. So we're really able to pinpoint, you know, what are the specific aspects that are causing the problem. That's number one. Secondly, all the men that we see, we will then do a simple blood or saliva test to check their testosterone levels. I tell men, you know, they ought to know that number, their testosterone levels, as much as they know what their birth date is. It's a very important number to know because it changes over time, and it's important to know whether, you know, your levels are 350, which is kind of the lower range, or 1200, which is the higher range, and how that changes as you get older. So we'll often test men in their 20s, so we know what their testosterone level is when it is at its height, and then to see how it changes as men get into their 30s, 40s, 50s, and 60s. So that's the second thing we do. Third thing, then, is if we recognize that there are hormonal, physiological, psychological problems, then we begin to pinpoint what are the interventions that we can do. So we look at the man's diet, because we find, for instance, that as men eat less carbohydrates and more protein, you know, this kind of traditional male diet, and now diets are talking, you know, let's not eat carbs, let's eat protein, we find that men get more irritable when their carbohydrate levels are out of balance, because it affects their serotonin levels in their brain.
Mm-hmm.
So we might look at diet. Secondly, we look at exercise, because we know that the typical American lifestyle, most men don't walk enough, most men don't exercise enough, and that can affect their testosterone levels. We take a look at their drinking. You know, typically men, you know, drink some, or they drink a lot. And most men don't know that alcohol actually lowers their testosterone level and increases their estrogen levels. Mm-hmm. So, again, a little is fine, but too much can throw the balance off. So, again, once we know where the problem's coming, we can change diet, we can change exercise, we can change, you know, what their drinking patterns are. And then the final thing that we look at is their relationship. Often relationships, you know, that have been going for a while at midlife start to turn south, and men get, you know, more withdrawn, they get more antsy, they get more, you know, feeling like something needs to change, they don't know what it is, and often, you know, they blame their wives or they blame their partners. Geez, if I'm not feeling good, maybe it's you. And, you know, I tell men that usually it's not their wife, it's usually their life that's out of balance, and we need to start there to get things back on track.
You know, you touched on a lot of points that as you were going over them, I'm thinking, oh, yeah, that's an interesting issue. Because, you know, I was thinking just of the testosterone level. I'm thinking, how many guys actually know what their testosterone level is, you know, when they're younger? And so,
exactly.
You know, they have no comparison point. And I've always, you know, when you take blood tests, there's always the, quote, normal range, you
right.
know? And so, you know, like even patients I have who have thyroid issues, a patient
right.
comes in and says, you know, there's nothing wrong with my life. Everything's fine. I'm doing well. I'm financially okay. My relationship is fine, but I'm unhappy and I'm depressed and I can't figure it out. And so I would ask questions like, have you noticed your skin's dry or your hair is dry? And I would say in the last couple of years, probably two or three people would say yes. And I would say, okay, here's what I want you to do. Go to your doctor. I want your thyroid checked out. You know, not everything psychological. And so they come back and they go, well, the doctor said I'm okay. I'm at the very low end of normal.
Right.
And I would say, well, we don't know what that means. I mean, it could have been that a year ago you were at the upper end of normal and you've dropped from the upper end to the lower end. Now, that's significant.
Right. But
the doctors would say, well, no, he's still in the normal range.
Exactly. And that's an absolutely important point that you make, and it's equally true for other hormones, including testosterone, that, you know, we know that, quote, range of testosterone, we all, you know, come into the world with different inherent levels that we're going to, you know, move up to as we go from childhood to adolescence to adulthood, that in our 20s, our testosterone may vary a normal level from 400 nanograms per deciliter of blood up to 1,200. Mm-hmm. So that's the normal range, 400 to 1,200.
Right.
When a man then, you know, comes in who's 40, you know, and says, I'm really out of sorts, I don't feel good, but my doctor checked my testosterone, he says it's in the normal range. It's important to know if your normal range when you were in your 20s was 400 and now it's dropped to 350, mm-hmm. you know, may not be a big problem. But on the other hand, if you were 1200 when you were in your 20s and now it's dropped to 400, that's going to be a significant problem and you're going to have symptoms, but the doctor may say, well, no problem, you're in the normal range. So it's really important to the degree that we can to get men to come in and get checked out when they're young. If you don't, there's lots we can do when you're older. We can, you know, guess at what your levels may have been, and if you've got symptoms and your level is down fairly low, then, you know, we can do things to bring it up to a level that then brings you back to full functioning.
You know, the other interesting piece is, you know, when you get to be in your middle years or above, you know, it's interesting because you wind up being on medications that you were never on before. So I know that, you know, I've had patients come in who were on, let's say, blood pressure medication. They would complain that, you know, they really have no interest or, you know, they have erectile problems. And I'm very careful about taking histories on people in terms of medications that they take. And I can't tell you how many people who they were on, let's say, even, you know, 10 or, you know, 20 milligrams or actually 50 milligrams of, let's say, Atenolol, which is a very common blood pressure medication. But when you read the side effects, it's going to affect their libido and their ability to have erections. And doctors don't necessarily explain that.
Exactly right. Yeah. I mean, you know, it makes sense. Our blood system, you know, goes throughout our body. It's one system. And, you know, the blood that enables you, a man to get an erection, you know, is the same blood vessels that, you know, go through the man's entire body. So if you're lowering the blood pressure, you know, to help your physical health, but you don't recognize that that may impact your sexual health, mm-hmm. then, you know, we run into the problem of being so specialized in our medical approaches that one hand doesn't know what the other one's doing. We treat one thing but don't realize the effect on the other part of the man's well-being. So I agree with you. It's very important to look at the whole man, the whole picture, mm-hmm. and to be able to see what's going on and then to treat appropriately so that we're not creating problems while we're trying to solve other ones.
Yeah, and the other piece that occurred to me while you're talking is the serotonin drain, you know, the loss of serotonin due to diet. And I again go back to when the Atkins diet was very popular, and it was basically, you know, protein, 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 and vegetables, no carbohydrates. And I would have patients come in, and by the third week on that diet, they were depressed.
Right.
And again, you know, I would have to explain to them, well, you know, you've knocked out all of your carbohydrates, and carbohydrates increase serotonin. And so when your serotonin is low, That's why they give SSRIs, which are,
right,
you know, antidepressant medications. So it's understandable why you're depressed, because your serotonin is depleted.
Right. Exactly. And so, you know, I see the same thing with men that come into my practice. So, you know, we really have to recognize the whole person. We really need to look at not only the whole man, but his relationship, because if you're part of a relationship, then that's going to impact how you're feeling. And, you know, the other aspect is the larger social environment. We know that, you know, as the whole economy that's going downhill throughout the world is impacting men particularly. There's a study that just came out that's followed up on studies we've been doing over the last 10 years on depression in men,
mm-hmm,
and finding out that as men find it more difficult to get jobs, to hold jobs, as the economy, you know, goes downhill, it particularly impacts, you know, men, and we're finding depression rates are going up, suicide rates are going up,
mm-hmm,
and, you know, men have a lot invested in being breadwinners and being there in supportive ways for ourselves and our families. And we're going to have to help men recognize that when they're out of work or they're afraid of being out of work, this is not a personal failing. This is really a large impact of an economy that's changing, and that we need to be supportive of men so that they can get through this.
You know, it's interesting, because as sophisticated as we think we are as a society, it still comes down to the fact, and I agree with you saying, that men only have two jobs, really, and that is to provide and protect.
Right.
And when you take away the provider ability, their ego takes a major hit. And
right,
there's still this, and I still have patients in my practice still who have what I call the John Wayne mentality. And they believe that, you know, there's a hierarchy out there. On one end is John Wayne, and the other end is Don Knotts. And
right, right,
no one wants to be on the Don Knotts side. For my audience out there who may not know that was the guy on who played Barney Fife in the Andy Griffith Show. You can go look at that one on Hulu. But it was a very, you know, this whole kind of black and white mentality about, you know, how rigid they are in terms of their identity. You're right, that when the economy is tanking, and, you know, I have 50-year-old guys who are saying, I'm 50-something years old, I just lost a six-figure income, and now I'm working, you know, in Home Depot. I can't get out of that, and who's
right,
going to hire me?
Right.
You know? And it's very hard to convince them that, you know, you do have skills, and it is not just you. It's a bad environment and
exactly,
bad economy, and it's something that may turn around, but you got to keep persisting, and you got to keep plugging
exactly,
away.
Well, and we need to help men recognize that there's other ways that we're going to have to learn to provide and protect, you know, in ways other than the traditional economy, because that may not be the way we're going to be able to do it. We're doing a lot of things in my town with developing a local economy and helping, you know, men and women both to be able to share skills and share experience and barter services so that, you know, you can be out of work, but if you, as you point out, still have skills, which we all have, and still can do things, then we can still provide, and we can still offer, you know, support, protection, emotional support to ourselves, each other, and our families, and that's what men need. We need to feel worthwhile. We need to feel that we're, you know, we're productive and we're doing things, but we're going to have to teach men to be productive in new ways.
In terms of the relationship, the impact on the relationship, do you work with couples?
Yeah, probably the biggest part of my practice is working with couples, wherever they start, whether the man comes in first or the woman comes in. I do a lot of counseling actually with people throughout the world by phone. People find out they're dealing with these issues and they need some, you know, unique input, so we do that. And almost always I get, you know, the spouses involved and the families so that, you know, this can be a shared process so the man doesn't just feel it's just me against the world. He recognizes that this is impacting everybody. And the good news is that as we get, you know, the spouse involved and the man involved, they become part of a team saying, you know, let's tackle this together. Often the woman may be going through her own change of life, so it's kind of a double menopause, and we, you know, can help them both, you know, recognize that, hey, I understand what you're going through. I'm going through something similar. And instead of being in conflict, which so many couples become and feel estranged from each other, this can actually help people come together and help people support each other and get through this together. And that's the main thing, because my experience, I've just seen so many couples whose relationship falls apart just at a time when they could really be enjoying their relationship the most. And they've worked hard, they have some time, and now they want to be together, and all of a sudden, you know, things are starting to cave in. And that's really the main thing I want to change, so that doesn't happen to people.
So speaking of that, Jed, how does somebody get a hold of you? How do they find you?
Well, probably the easiest way is to come to our website, survivingmalemenopause.com. And I've got, you know, ways that people can get my free newsletter. I have a free ebook that I offer people to give them some more detail about male menopause. So survivingmalemenopause.com. And I say I'm happy to email people the questionnaire that we use for the research so that they can check it out themselves and see whether this is a problem in their life. And I'd enjoy hearing from any of the folks that are part of this this podcast and mm-hmm. would like to find out more about what we do.
That's great. Terrific. And I hope people will take you up on that offer. Unfortunately, we're out of time, Jed, so we have to end it here. I want to thank you again. And I hope people have profited from this little conversation and the information, and hope we save some marriages out there.
Good to be with you. I look forward to being in contact with you again.
Terrific. So until next time, this is Dr. Howard Gurr for The Shrink Is In.
You have been listening to The Shrink Is In, and your host has been Dr. Howard Gurr. If you want to learn more about Dr. Gurr, go to his website at www.drsgurr.com.